weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious, nor have I turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. Father, you know each and every individual that had come to gather in your presence here. And you know our needs. You know what we need to be equipped with. And so we just ask you to come now and continue to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit in this place. We yield to you. We give you honor. Jesus, this is your church. It's yours. Lord said, you've written that the gates of hell won't prevail against this church. And Father, I thank you that those that are here tonight, Lord God, will not be disappointed, Lord God, that you will lead them into triumph, Lord, and that they will see your power and your manifestation and your glory, Lord God, in their life. And thank you, Father, that your word will be in their mouth. We give you all the glory and we give you all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you may not know, I just got back from a mission in South Africa. And I've been going for the last 10 years or so. And it's different every time, for sure. This one was very special, and there's a lot of power. I want to thank you all for your prayers, because it certainly made a big difference. And but I want to talk tonight. I really feel like the Lord was leading me to talk about spiritual warfare tonight, so that you can leave here with some specifics of how to apply that into your life. As you've noticed, that you probably are under a test right now. The Lord is testing us, and that's a good thing. And the word that I had coming out of here was the testing that occurred in the waters of Marah. And that's in the book of Exodus, where they were in the wilderness of Shur, and they had traveled for 30-some miles, and they didn't have any water, and so they came up on some water. But the waters were putrid. And the Israelites complained, and Moses prayed. And the ones who prayed got the answer, and the ones who complained got nothing. And but God gave Moses the solution in the test. And he said, go take the branch and to put it in the putrid waters, and they'll become fresh. So he got the solution. But that wasn't the purpose of God. So God led the Israelites to the waters of Marah. He leads us to putrid waters sometimes, but he has a purpose in it. And the purpose of God was to reveal himself as a healer, to reveal himself in that tree, which would be hung on the cross 2,400 years later after that. So the purpose of God in the test is always to reveal himself to you in a way that you don't know him yet. And so as you pray and as you get your solutions in your tests, just know that the purpose is, yes, God giving you a solution, but the purpose is always that he would reveal himself to you in a way that you've never known him before. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, talked about, my determined purpose is to know him, in the book of Philippians, to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, to know the wonders of his person. And so that's when that's why we're in these tests right now. But we're being prepared in a fast way. You know, talk about in the book of Malachi how these calves leapt out of the stall, and calves were given a special diet to grow fast. And I really sense in my spirit that God is giving you a diet to grow you fast, and that's why you're in such intense testing. Now, prior to this mission, the Lord had given me a very direct word. He said, "Don't be concerned about anything, Todd." And basically, it's a fancy way of saying don't be worried about anything. And so I had many things come against me. My identity was stolen. They got into my bank accounts. I mean, it would take a long time to go over all the little things, even to my Sky Miles before I take off. They got into my Sky Miles account. And I'm wondering if my passport is really going to work or not as I'm leaving the country. But when I returned in the country, literally everything that was owed to me, every single thing, was in my bank. One day. I kid you not. Well, I am thankful for that, but it was just one of those things that, you know, God said not to be concerned about anything. But what got me, though, saints, and I stripped myself when I was over there, and don't take that the wrong way, and I'm just revealing, I lost it over the little thing. I got concerned over pizza, just something just minor with my wife, a little scuttle that we had. You know how you and your husband, and sometimes you get into it, you know, and it was just over pizza. And you know, it was just one of those things that us, Lord, that's how fine-tuned He wants us. He really is getting us right down where the rubber meets the road right now, saints. There is a fast thing that's coming on this earth very quickly, and it's a shaking. And I don't know if you're experiencing it like I am or not, but I feel as if that you're being made aware that there's a shaking going on. It's intense. The world is really shaking, and things are shaking around you. And you don't want to hang on to anything right now that's on fire, believe me. God doesn't want you to have anything invested in this planet. Amen. Nothing. Amen. It's all about Him. And so we need to submerge ourselves in our missions and to understand that this warfare that we're in is very serious. Now, one of the things I'll point out, and let's go to Luke chapter 10. I think we'll start there. And what I didn't realize when I was different things that we do here, that Lord was laying some things out for me. And prior to when you go into your mission, and it's any mission that you're into, you're in a mission right now. But I want to tell you something, saints. You need to hear this because, you know, we've been told we have authority in God and all of this stuff and spiritual warfare, and it's all true. But you must understand where the authority is. It's in the mission. It's not outside the mission. Yeah. See, when He sent the 70 out, He was very specific in what He told them to do. In Luke 10, chapter 1, it says, now after this, the Lord chose, He chose and appointed. So He chose you and He appoints you. You're chosen and appointed. Everybody in here is chosen and appointed for a specific mission. It's already written inside of you. The mission of God is in you right now. It's encased in there. And the anointing, it says in the scriptures that the anointing is permanently within all of us. It's not just there like comes and goes. It's there. It's inside of you. It says that the anointing teaches you concerning all things. Not some things, all things. And so that anointing right now, as I'm here in the room, that anointing in you is being activated. It's teaching you. Even though I am teaching you, the anointing inside of you is actually activating. So you'll hear something different. Some person may hear this, you may hear that. Everybody hears something different because the anointing is individualized. And so it's teaching you right now. And so I just want to encourage you that anointing is teaching you to abide in Him and stay close to Him. But you're appointed and you're chosen. And so God, again here, it says Jesus is talking to His disciples and He said to them, the harvest indeed is abundant. There's much ripe grain, but the farmhands are few. Pray before, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. And so if we need more laborers, we just ask Him. We don't have to do any advertising. Amen. We don't have to try to collect people to our places. And the thing that I'm seeing happening, and I had to exhort several pastors when I was over there. You know, that's a good way to get invited back. But I had to do it because as Jesus gave the 70, He gave them specifics. And so He loads me up before I go. He gave me specifics. And I knew the parameters of the anointing. I knew the what God wanted to do. And so He prepared me for it. He's preparing you the same way. You have to be aware of it, though, because the authority is always in the mission. So if I'm in the mission, I'm going over there and I've got the specifics, then the anointed is there, then the power is there. It will accomplish the very thing that God sent me into, because if the word is in my mouth and I speak His word, it's His word, not my word, but it will happen. It's interesting because I had a prophetess named Hannah. Some of you may know her. She was just popped up. I never met her before, but she was at, I think, IFC church. And Ralph and Patty had recommended her, and so I said, yeah, bring her on in, and I never forget, she stood up here, and she started out, can I prophesy? And I go, oh, no, we don't do that here. She's like, we're all laughing, of course we do it. But then she ministered to me and said I would see something about marine demons, you know? I'd never heard of marine demons because I'm on the land, But I guess they're out there. And I didn't encounter those there. They were there. They definitely did try to attack. Didn't do anything to me, but they tried to attack. But I'll get into that in just a little bit. So anyway, but it was there were specifics that Jesus gave his disciples. And so as he sends me over there, he says to me specifically, I'm sending you there to pull a stronghold down. And I know about you, but when God says pull strongholds down and this and that, I don't know exactly just understand how to do that. I don't claim to sit there and have this idea of almost going to pull down a stronghold. It's more a little more complicated. It's not complicated, but it's a little more detailed than that. Like, how should I do it? What is the stronghold? The specific things. But I had to exhort several pastors over there because the problem with our churches is they've almost become kind of like the Tower of Babel in some ways. The Tower of Babel, God commanded after the days of Noah, after the flood, that man should go out and spread and multiply. And instead of doing that, what did they do? They congregated, they built this thing, and they said they built this thing to attract the deity to them. And God said, I'm not doing that. I'm not on your beck and call. And so he scattered us. Not only does he scatter them, he assigns little g's, little gods, over them and spreads them out to 70 different nations. And it's interesting that they send out the 70. He sent 70 out to the 70 nations. And so you have to understand there's little g's that are over areas and territories. They're very concerned about their territories. Even when Jesus, when he casted out the legion, remember how concerned they said, please don't cast us out of the area. And so they control, they influence people. And though they have been stripped of their power, they influence people by projecting thoughts in the minds. And we know this, like in the book of Job, when you see that God allows Job to be tested, you see the Chaldeans and some of the other ones that made the raids. Well, Satan controlled them. And so you must understand that pulling down a stronghold is simply what Jesus demonstrates here. He sends the 70 out into a mission, and they go, the kingdom of God is at hand. Healing started to occur, correct? And then now on top of that, in the assignments, he says, go heal the sick. But he doesn't say anything about casting out demons. But when they come back, they're like, even the demons are subject to us in his name, in your name. And they're amazed by that. It's because that wasn't part of you didn't assign that to us, but it happened. And he said, his response was, I was watching. I was watching Satan fall like lightning. And so Satan loses dominion over areas when the kingdom of God is being preached. And so to pull down a stronghold, the kingdom of God has to be preached. But when we stay in our little churches and we don't go out, guess what? The kingdom of God doesn't get preached. He can't. These little G's, they can't stop. They cannot stop what's going to happen. But they know that the end comes, what? When the gospel of the kingdom is preached to the ends of the earth. So all they can really do is stall it by keeping us all contained. I would submit to you, do not allow yourself to be contained by any church or any person. You have a mission, do it. Find out what it is. Go forth in Jesus' name. We got plenty of teachers. We got plenty of stuff. But this building, there are little places, and you know, and you got to be part of the club and that type of thing. I'm not saying they don't do any good. I'm not saying that God isn't there. I'm just telling you the truth. You have a mission, and you cannot allow yourself to be stagnated. The people that you're around, the people that you know, the people that you haven't met yet, these are your congregations. Look well to your flock. You have a responsibility for your flock. And not only that, you can even pray for people you don't even know. Just make yourself active because you can touch so many people. You know, on my phone, I can sit there and talk to somebody in India or in South Africa or wherever around the world. I do a word of the week where I just do a little simple thing. Many of you get it. You know, anybody can do that. Anybody can. And if that's not your cup of tea or whatever, you can take what I'm sending and send it to somebody else. Or maybe, and you're already doing that anyway. But you see what I'm saying? We have in our pocket the ability to reach the nations. So reach the nations. Get activated. God will give you ideas because the authority is in your mission. You people, we sang tonight about the signs and wonders. Signs and wonders will be birthed out of you because that is what God's all about. He's inside you. The anointing wants to flow through you. Jesus talked about the river that was within us, the springs that are within us. He who believes in me, out of his belly shall what? Shall flow. So the authority is in the mission. So I'm sitting there. I fly in on a Saturday night, or actually a Friday, spend the night. I hit Durban on Saturday, and then Sunday's the first meeting. And so I'm positioned in the center of Durban, in the center of the city. It's Collins is the pastor's name. He's over like 30-some churches, and this church is on TV too, which I didn't know. It's a very large church. The sanctuary probably holds 3,000 or so. It's very large, and he's got several of those. And I don't know if he has the largest church in South Africa, but he's up there. And so I'm in the green room prior to going in there, and I come over to the man, and he's just a good guy. But I come up to him, and I think I'm just going to shake his hand. And I come up to him, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there. And I reach out to him, and I look him right in the eye, and I said, "You know that it's his church, don't you? It's Jesus' church."
Wow.
and the power of God is just flowing through me. You know, Jesus said he knew virtue came out of him. I knew that the power of God, and it wasn't an aggressive thing. It wasn't anything like that. The power of God was loving on him. He was on fumes. I knew he was on fumes. He needed a touch from the Lord. There were a lot of distractions. Specifically, they had to put makeup on me. I'm not one that wears makeup. Maybe I need some, I don't know, but I wasn't on makeup. I was wondering whether I should have some purple thing going on there or whatever. But so they put makeup on me. So there was, but the distractions were there. But the mission was specific. I'm to pull down a stronghold. I have certain things I've got to minister. I don't even know what they believe. And so I get to the place where I'm sitting there in the pulpit. I'm realizing I'm centered in the city of Durban, and the Lord tells me he wants me to read Psalm 82. That's what it's his word, by the way. So he just said, read Psalm 82. And then I began to pray. So here's Psalm 82. Let's read it together. God stands in the assemblies of the representatives of God, in the midst of magistrates or judges. He gives judgment among the gods, little g's. How long will you, magistrates or judges, judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Do justice to the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rescue them out of the hand of the wicked. The magistrates and judges know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness of the complacent satisfaction of foundations of the earth. The fundamental principles upon which rest the administrations of justice are shaking. I said you are gods, since you judge on my behalf as my representatives. Indeed, all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die as men and fall as one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth. For to you belong all the nations. And so I'm releasing this. And then I go into the waters of Marah. I go into the testings. And so the whole entire place is the Lord is doing this because it's specific in nature. As I said, the authority is in the mission. And I'm just observing and watching God do this. And really the results were, even at the end, because people came forth, there were salvations that occurred just like that. I mean, just people were just coming to God. But the power of God fell in that place. But not only did it fall in the place, it went up as well as it went down. Now, we'll wait just a second. You got to get some chairs out. We got three here. I don't know. How do I know anything? It just, Well, mainly because when I was releasing it, I could just tell it just fell on the people that were there, but it went up because this specific church was centered in the city, right in the city of Durban. It's a very a busy area. They literally park the cars on the streets there. I mean, they take up lanes and they don't even have parking lots. They just park on the streets. And it's amazing to me that the Lord was moving so strongly there. And then, of course, there are protocols when these churches that are over there, they're similar to ours in one sense, where everybody's up on the stage and they do all the ministry. Nobody really goes down. And so what does the Lord do? He takes me down into the crowd. And I tells everybody there that everybody's on the same level. I mean, literally everything that could possibly be done to bring everybody into the same place was being done by the Spirit of the Lord. Because the thing is that everybody, you know, they have this thing where we put everybody on stages and we elevate the people, you know, we're just different. I just have a function. I'm not any better than anybody here. I have a function. You have one too. Yours is just as significant as mine. But I think because there's been such a separation over the years, it's like herding cattle, you know what I mean? And there's no release. So anyway, to make a long story short, I come down on the platform, I minister over individuals, I start calling out people that are evangelists, things of this nature. And the pastor there, after invites me to come back on a Wednesday night. He didn't have me scheduled, but he invites me back on a Wednesday night. When I'm on the platform, he wants me to come back to do a prophet's conference or something along those lines. And so he was really touched. But the best thing that really blessed me is that he had a conference at the end of that week, and he gets up and he's ministering to all these pastors that have come in for training. And the thing he hits is he talks about how it's the Lord's church. He got it. And I suspect that he probably will be changing some things. Because I told him the word that God gave me over him is to stop looking at them as a congregation. Look at them as your army. Because see, when you look at people as the army, it's the thing about it, he has so many people involved in his churches. But I will say this, that at least he has home meetings. I mean, they have home meetings, hundreds of them. And they have an outreach. They go out. So he understands the concept. But when you start looking and understanding that there are other people that are also evangelists, that are also prophets, that are also, you know, I mean, God wants all of us to move prophetically. And so he was just greatly encouraged. So in Ephesians chapter 6, if you turn over there, you guys are very familiar with that scripture, I'm sure. In verse 12 it says, "For not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers," that's what we read in Psalm 82, "of this present darkness. Against spiritual forces of wickedness," and where? In the heavenly sphere. And so what the Lord wanted to do is he wanted to do something in Durban. And this was a team effort by this group here. Because I know some of y'all keep me prayed out all the time. I can feel your prayers. I've had words before I left. I mean, when I'm over there, I don't feel like I'm alone at all. I feel like I've got something going on back in Colombia praying for me. For us. So these things are being attacked. Now, when I've gone over into South Africa, and this has been going on with me for some years now, and some of you that went to these meetings I held out in Newbury back in the 80s, it would rain almost every time I would have a meeting. I don't know why. I started like, why is it raining every time? Well, when I go over into South Africa, there's always some manifestation and some weather event, something. And so it's clear as a bell, and we're all, everybody's so thankful that it's sunshine, and they go, you know, there's nothing, it's so sunny, and just stayed that way. But on Thursday night, I'm in, I have to look, I can't pronounce the, Sikawini is the name of the city, which is outside of Durban. And so we go out there, and this Collins guy built a 3,000-seater that we prayed over last year, and for they would have the money to do it and so forth. And I mean, it went up. I mean, it wasn't even a year. This thing went up, so it's a huge thing. I'll have pictures next week. So we go out there, and I minister to the leadership there. And the Lord started ministering over this guy, these guys that are running that church out there or whatever. But that wasn't really the thing. The thing is, we went to this small place where, in this small little, it's not a little town, but it was just a small little church. I'd been in it before. It wasn't very big. There's a guy named there, his name's Saki, and just a real humble guy. He's a teacher. His wife's a teacher, just real humble guy. And we met in their house, and they got kicked out of their building, and she had some land, and they built this church on it, so we're going to go out and dedicate it or whatever. And so I'm just sitting in there, and I'm saying, well, how did y'all meet? And he bought her. It was a dowry thing, but they were perfectly matched. But because it's funny, they didn't know that they have that over there. I mean, there's some of that there, and so many cows. I think it was 7 cows, something like that. And it was just neat. And so we're sharing. And so we go out to their church, and we drive out. I mean, no one would put a church where they have a church. It was in the middle of nowhere, in the most rough road that you could get to it. It was all, the road was just, it was just really bad. And thank God it hadn't been raining, because we would have been stuck. And we get out into this building, and we're in this small little building. What I don't know is that we're right in the middle of Satan's turf. I mean, there's witch doctors everywhere around. It's a big stronghold, and we're in the middle of all this stuff. And I do not know this. They inform me after the fact. But we're sitting there, and we're in this building. And so we go out there, and we just start praying. And I just started praying in the Spirit. Peter started praying in the Spirit. The team were just praying in the Spirit. And all I could say, it's like it just became warfare in the Spirit. And all I could say is, Jesus is Lord. I kept saying that about as loud as I could possibly say it. I kept doing it over and over again. And they're getting a little freaked out because I'm putting my hands on them. But the power of God just started to come. And all of a sudden, a wind came. This wind was so, it was like probably 45, 50 mile an hour winds just shaking this building and coming away, just shaking. And I'm going, oh my gosh, what is going to happen now? Because we're out in the middle of nowhere, and the wind, and that wind came into Durban too. And the next morning, this prophetess, I get this this voice thing from, came to one of our team, and they got to me, and basically she said that the wind was a north wind that came in. And she said that the north wind, what it represented were two things, was represented revival and judgment. And you can't make this stuff up. I mean, we're in the middle, we're doing a warfare. I don't see what's going on exactly in the spirit. All I know is that this thing is happening. Monday night after Sunday, this was Thursday, go back to Sunday morning, Monday night, we go for a walk. Peter meets me, and we go for a walk right out in front of the hotel. It's right on the water. And so we go out and walk. And there's a woman that's homeless or whatever, and we come up to her, and Peter goes, you got a word for her. That's what he does. He just points people out. That's what he had all the time. Do you have a word for us? And actually, it just came out, flowed like a river. And all of a sudden, boom, we put hands on, and boom, the spirit comes out of her. I mean, just shook the fool out of her. I mean, just, she was just like lightning hit her. I was like, oh my gosh. And she gets, you know, delivered right there. And then, you know, there's people all around, and they're like, we're watching this take place. The power of God was just amazing. But that night, in my room, I'm sitting in my room, and all of a sudden, and I was having my eyes shut, and I just, these waves, it was like light. It wasn't the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't a demon. It was something else. One of those little G's. I'm just being scanned. And the only way I know that is I have these thoughts coming into my mind saying you're being scanned, basically. And I said, well, what am I going to say to this thing? And it just came up in my spirit. You're wasting your time. You don't have any power. And I just left. You see, what you're up against has been stripped of power. It has no power. If you think you have something that has power, it's all deception. It's convincing you in your mind that it might have power, but it has no power. Not every thought that I have is my thought. Sometimes thought get projected at me, try to mask themselves as my thought. Taking thoughts captives is such a real thing. It is such a real thing, saints. You have to, it doesn't say take some thoughts captive. It says take all thoughts captive. And it's an awareness and it's a commitment to your walk with the Lord, to walk in the Spirit. You won't carry out the desires of the flesh. And you take thoughts captive. I mean, literally. And I'm amazed to me as I've walked with the Lord at this point in my life, how that is such a good tool to have turned on 24/7. I mean, there is a place in the Lord where you're literally just on the job all the time. I mean, Jesus, he only spoke the words of the Father. Only spoke the words of the Father. I mean, from there until only the Father's words. And because he only spoke the Father's words, it says in the Scriptures that the anointing was given to him without measure. The power of God is turned up and you are walk with him when you get to that place where you're really recognizing the difference between his will and your will, and you're judging your thoughts, and the thoughts and the judgments are correct because you don't seek or consult your own will. You have no desire to do what is pleasing to you anymore. And now you're being, that filter has been put in place, and now that pure word of the Lord can stream through your mouth. So when you're communicating with people, it is the word of the Lord coming through you. And there's nothing that can stop the word of the Lord. It has an absolute. When Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, he was going to Nineveh. It didn't matter what he did. He was going to Nineveh. Whether he went in by a fish or however it happened, he was going to Nineveh. So when the word of the Lord comes to you in an order or in a direction or a leading, you're going. You might have a little tangent, but you're going. Now, you lay that out to your assignment on this earth. Jesus, it says in the Scriptures that their works prepared for the foundation of the world that we might walk in them. So they're already prepared. And as you've heard me say before, people don't seek out the things that are prepared for them. So the assignment is always specific. The authority is always in the mission. And these are why these tests are coming at you and me, to refine us with that refining fire of God. Refining us, refining our thoughts, refining our walk, refining our mouth. There, you know, to live a life that is totally submitted to him is the place where you and I are going. That's where we're headed. So, it says, in having shod your feet in preparation for the face of the enemy with firm-footed stability and promptness and readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace, lift up and cover the shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. Pray at all times. So your prayers and the word of the Lord, it's the sword of the Spirit, is so powerful. It is so awesome. It is in you. The word of God is nigh thee. It is in thy mouth. And so whatever you're up against in your mission can't stand against it. It can't stop you. It cannot do anything except bow. And it's, in one sense, it was created to bow. But we have to get to that place, saints. God has calling you to unto himself, that he can wrap you up with a mantle of love and shoot you as an arrow out of his bow, just in the hour of his fullness. And you will hit the target if you're an arrow in the hand of the Lord. Because there's no returning void of the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord will not return to him void. So be encouraged. So I'm jumping around a little bit, but I want to make sure that I... So on Tuesday, I'm meeting with this pastor from WCF. Now, this church WCF was a church that was founded in the center of this city called Chesterfield or Chatsworth. It's one of those other, and it's right sits in a valley, and all these poor homes are around it, and a prison sits up on a hill, and. This is a church that Peter had built, and Peter Van Niekerk had come here and ministered before, that he had built and raised the money and so forth. But it's in another strategic spot. It's one of those areas that the enemy has control over, but God's taken. And the church went through a split and had some issues and problems. You know how it is. I don't need to go in detail. But the Lord gave me a dream prior to getting there, and I'm sitting here and I'm walking in this house. And I have this staff in my hand in this dream, and I know that this staff is a weapon, and I know that it's supposed to be used against evil. And I'm walking in this house, all the lights are off in the house. I can't turn the lights off on, and I'm like, where is the team? Where is the team? And that was basically the dream. And so the Lord was giving me some specifics for the pastor that's there right now to bring about a unity and to understand of maybe what he was up against. And because of the disunity, because of the split, normally I would have been in that church on a Sunday morning, but I wasn't this time because of this split that had occurred. And so, in other words, to make a long story short, basically I met with him, I shared with him what the Lord was telling me to say to him about the situation, and then later on I'm ministering to his leadership, which composed about 20 people or so, worship team and so forth. And so systematically, through the Spirit, through prophecy, the Lord literally disarms the whole thing and brings about the potential for unity. You see, all these buildings and stuff, they're simply facilities. If they're used to be trained and sent out, it's great. But if they're used to contain, it's like shooting fish in a barrel for the enemy. Does that make sense? And that's why sometimes, maybe, I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been shot before because I wasn't doing anything. Or I was waiting for something to happen. I'm waiting for the move of God. I'm waiting to be recognized. And, you know, your prophets don't get recognized. That just doesn't happen. It's okay. It's okay if they can have a prophet come in, but they don't want anybody living with them. In case you hadn't noticed, I'm not calling myself a prophet, but I'm just saying that there's a really, I wouldn't be where I am today if I would still be in that, the same church, actually, if I never stepped out. I had to step out. And you know, when you step out, they don't want you stepping out, and then you're rebellious and all the above, and you know, it is how it is. I just never fit into church. I didn't fit into my own church. I started a church, I didn't even fit into that one. I mean, we started in a karate studio, and it was great, because as long as you're in that karate studio, everything was fine. But when we moved into a building that looked like a church, oh man, that was it. I was doomed. It was just, I just didn't even fit into it. I kept saying this is a move of God, but it stopped moving as soon as we got into that church. Because everybody wanted to do the same thing. And so I'm over there, and I told you last year, I came from here to there, and my second meeting was in a place, and they called it the Gathering, just like us. Looked around, all kinds of ministries, fivefold's there, they're doing it. And And the guy decides that he's going to do a Sunday morning and call it a church. And I had to tell him, I don't witness it at all. I'm sorry, I don't witness it. Now it shook him to the core. I mean, because he's driving me all around. He's a wonderful guy, great prophetic gift, very anointed. I love him. But he's missed God. I told him so. So God didn't tell you to do that. Why did you move it to that? And I heard, well, because it was dark and people, you know, and this and that. So people told you that you said it was more convenient for people to meet then. And I mean, so that's not the Holy Spirit. That's you. I mean, I shook him to the core. Because the problem is all the prophets were being gathered together. Now, how is anybody going to go? They're all in their churches on Sunday morning. How are they going to get to you? Explain that to me. Oh, I know. They're going to be leaving their places to come to you. And then the guy that's over there is going to think you're stealing their sheep, which he's already been accused of, by the way. Oh, I messed him up good. I know right now he's waiting for me to get back. He's trying to find a way to make that God, and then it's going to happen. Not only that, I met with all the prophets that were there. I'm sitting there, I told him, I said, what? How you think these guys are going to, you better be a host because they ain't going to follow you. I'll tell you right now, some of them already know it. They don't do that. And we just keep doing the same thing, building the same thing. We're to spread out as far as we can get. Some of you in here have so much word inside of you, you're just pregnant. And you're ready to give birth. I mean, if you get any more word inside of you, it's going to pop. You have so much teaching, so much experience. You're anointed. You're so anointed. You're anointed. You flow over. Amen. Just go start raining on somebody. You can tell I've been on a mission. I come back, I'm just like, as bold as a lion. So anyway. Second Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not carry on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons, for weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought captive and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, one of the things I've noticed about the anointing in these meetings, and it happens here a lot, is that when the anointing comes in such strength, it captures the thoughts of the room. I mean, to the point to where Jesus was able to know what they were reasoning, what they were even thinking. It gives you such a huge advantage in ministry, because when you're ministering to people, you can know what they're thinking if you're moving in the Spirit. Believe me, he'll show you what people are thinking. It was a great advantage when I was coaching individuals, because I knew what they were thinking as the Holy Spirit would give that to me, and I could coach them more effectively. And you're counseling people or trying to give them advice to know what's going on inside of them gives you an advantage, because you can learn to capture that thought that's coming from you know where. So I'm Wednesday night, since this minister had me back on Wednesday night, I'm in the church, and the team I had with me was not sure what the protocol there. So at the end of the service, I started praying for people in the corner, thinking I just would pray for a few people, but all of a sudden I turn around and they're just lined up, like 300 people. I gave over 300 prophecies that night, at least. But there was one, I would tell you, this one manifestation that really, I'd never seen this before. You know how people shake. This guy had his personal earthquake right where his feet was. Here on up, he's not moving. Here on down, he's shaking like, and he's like this, he's like, and other people are looking at him too. I don't know what it was. It wasn't like a demon was coming out of him. It was like almost like, you know, the place where they stood shook and they were filled. And I'm sitting there watching this. And I'm like, my God, wow, that's a sign. I had never seen that before. On Sunday, the last day I was there, I was in Phoenix, and Phoenix is a real rough area. And I'm in this church, and there was a word of encouragement for that church. It was very good. It was they needed some strength, but there was such a heaviness in there. I mean, it was so heavy. And I told him to Peter, I said, "Do you feel the heaviness in there?" He said, "Yeah." And I go, so anyway, when they got done with the worship, I called the worship leader back up, and this other lady that led the worship in that place before, but she didn't lead it that day. And it was one of the strongest worship events I'd ever been in, but she wasn't leading that day. So I had her come up, and so they're singing, and I'm just sitting there just seeing Jesus is Lord with my hands up, and the demon flies out of this woman to my right. I didn't look at it. I didn't have to do anything because I didn't have anything to do with it. I just sit there saying, Jesus is Lord, the Holy Spirit, and people are just getting delivered just like that. That's the power of God. The power is in the mission. You can expect the power of God to be on the scene when you minister to people. Expect it. There are people in this city, literally, that are bound up within their minds. They're held captive. But you are there. You're sent to them. And you have the sword of the Spirit. You can set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. You have that power in the mission.
Amen.
It's just a mindset.
Yep.
You know, they say that there's like 170 genders, 170 mindsets that are from hell, every single one of them. But the mind of Christ is what operates and flows through you and me. And that mind of Christ gives you the ability, it gives you the strategy every time to set the captives free. Every single time. There isn't one individual that God does not put you in front of that puts on your heart to pray and you're moved with compassion that will not be set free. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. In Matthew 16, verse 18. Actually, let's go to 17. Then Jesus answered him, "Blessed, happy, and to be envied are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So the Father in heaven revealed revelation to Peter who Jesus was. And you know he was being tested all the time. He gets this revelation, then Jesus turns to him, "I tell you, Peter, on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven." What Jesus said, you know, when he was being tempted, said, "Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." That's rhema word, every rhema word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Rhema word is coming to you on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit is manifesting himself to you on a daily basis. When I read that scripture, he wakens me morning by morning. Who woke you up this morning? I mean, I'm thinking about this now. I'm saying, man, I want to be woke up by God before I go to bed. I have to think about it. So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I hear is his voice. That's what Jesus, he heard his voice. That's why he could say, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple as one who is taught." He's giving you the tongue of a disciple as one who is taught. It's an impartation. It's a manifestation of his presence within you that is designed to reach out to those that are lost, that are captive. It's inside of you. He wants to pour out of you. And the more that you pour out, the more that you get. The potential, the thing is that we're not thinking big enough, saints. I shared this many times. I've shared it here. I shared it over there. You know, God could speak to us all over the earth one day. He could speak the whole body of Christ everywhere on the earth in one day to go do something. What would that look like? It says, he said, I promise I will shake all things. It's a promise, I will shake all things. And so we are in the pinnacle of opportunity right now. The shakings. It's okay to be shaken up. There's some things that need to be burned up and shaken up in our lives. It's okay. It is. It's okay. Just don't hang on to it. Just let go of it. It doesn't mean that we aren't to be to take care of things. It's just those things can't have us. You know, I thought to myself one day. I said, I thought that question came to me. Are you happy? And I started to reflect because the Holy Spirit was really needling me right at the time of really, first of all, to define what that is. Because there's a world definition of happiness. And the problem with us Americans is we have so much stuff. Even the poor in our country have a lot of stuff. But I tell you, I saw people over there that have nothing in terms of materialist, but have abundance in God.
Amen.
And that's what we all have. We have the treasure, this treasure in earthen vessel. You know, so you have days, you know, where you've got money in your pocket, you can go out and you can just get something to eat, what you want to eat. You know, you got that money in there and it's okay. I just have anything I want to eat. I get to eat. But when you got understand we got the treasures of Jesus, we can walk around like we're loaded.
Yes, Lord.
I mean, not in a conceited way, but we're loaded.
That's right.
And we're a gazillionaire. Yeah, we got a place, we got a dwelling. It's not even here. There's no building, there's no house, there's not anything here that you can see that can compare with what's in glory. There's no comparison. Paul pointed it out. That's yours. Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. This is truth. And the Holy Spirit is really just laying it out right now to the body of Christ. It's like we're getting a reality check. The gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal regions, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. That speaks of a church that's on the march and on the move. I'll share one more thing. On Friday, after Thursday, after this wind came through, we went to Peter had a guy that he worked with, his name was Basil, and he had a really large work in town and a really tremendous ministry. And he had passed away, and his wife was really hurting. I mean, she was just devastated. And it had been some time that had gone by, and if it's been a year or 2 years or whatever, but the whole family, he was we're just a larger than life guy. And he had all these, had two daughters and a son. And his son moved back from Canada to take the church, and they're doing the church, kind of moving on. And so we're going to them, and so they kind of briefed me that was the situation, you know, before we got there. And Peter had done some extensive ministry with them back 20-some years, and just they had just a history. And so they're just reminiscing. And as soon as I walk into the house, the one daughter that's there is the Holy Spirit says she's going to fall in love. And I mean, I'm just sitting there, that's so strange. I've never had that said to me. And why are you telling me this? You know, so I'm just, okay. And I'm not looking for an opening to say anything to anybody. I'm just there. I thought we were just, you know, having, it was a social event. And they have his house, they live right on the water, beautiful, it's a mansion, and I have a house. And he apparently was very successful at whatever he was doing, because it was a house, really nice, right there, and the waves are crashing, it was just beautiful. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just going, you know, minding my own business, and we're having some food, and the son comes in, just pops in, he was leaving, he had to go, and he's pastoring or whatever, and so Peter had a little word for him, and then I had something for him too, and he came over, and I just put my hand on him, whatever, and I just, whatever the Lord was telling me, and so I let that out, and I just kind of kept quiet, and then Peter goes, you have something for her? Yes, I do. And she's looking at me, and they don't really know me, and you know, they don't know anything about me, really. They just know that I have some kind of a prophetic ministry, and I'm there, but there's so much heaviness in the house, and I looked at her, I said, you're going to fall in love, and you're going to get married. And she believes that she's not going to get married. She believes that she has, hanging on to that scripture, it's better to be single. And then mom's down at the other end, she goes, you know, last week I woke up in the morning and the Lord told me, and I was talking with the Lord, that you really need to be married. And you know, we can't have those discussions. And all of a sudden I'm in the middle of this family thing going on here. And she, but she's like, since I give her this word, she is, she's sitting there going, she's getting really nervous because she knows, I don't know how she knows, but she knows it's the Lord. And I started laughing. I mean, I just got filled with joy, like, you know how you've seen me get like that. I mean, it hits me. And I'm going, oh no. Oh no. No, 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 no. And the thing about it is, that's exactly what her father would do. He would laugh at her when he knew that she didn't want something, and she was about to get her into something that God had for her. And she turns to say, that's just exactly what my father would do. And then I had something for the next daughter. And then I went to the mom who was really struggling. And the Lord gave me, because the wind just blew the night before, the north wind. And so I started talking about the south wind, where it talks about in the Song of Solomon, it says, awake, O north wind, and now come south wind, and blow upon my garden, that my beloved may come into the garden, eat its choicest fruit, that the fragrance be wafted abroad. And all of a sudden the Lord just started ministering. And I saw the Holy Spirit build this lady up and take away her pain and give her life. The power of God inside of you has so much potential. You just have to just step into it. You just have to step into your destiny, saints. We can no longer hold back. We have got to let this thing go. We have been taught and trained and everything that you can possibly have. We had hand laid on us. We've been prophesied over. We've had everything that you can possibly have at our disposal. It's time to let it all out. Find out what your avenue is. Find out what your lane is and just run full speed. Let it go. You have the power of God inside of you. It's more powerful than you've ever known. It's touched you, it sets you free, but also has the power to set those that are free around you. You've underestimated yourself. The problem is that the enemy has tried to pin us down with all of our mistakes, with all of our shortcomings, and tries to put in front of our face all the problems, all the stuff. He tries to weigh us down. We've got to cut through that stuff and just get into the mission. Brother, I'm going to give you a word of encouragement there in the blue. You got your, like that. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I just see the power of God on you. I just see an evangelist that's being birthed inside of you. I just see an individual that just is not afraid. You know, you get to a point where you just don't care anymore. It's almost it's a freeing thing, really, to not care in one sense. You don't want to be careless, but to not care. And I see the Holy Spirit has just trained you and brought you to a place where you, he just broke you, where you just don't care. Well, there's a freedom in that. And you're not afraid of man. It says, fear of man bringeth a snare. And you're not afraid of man. So that's that evangelist that's being birthed in you that will reach out and speak to someone. You've spoke words of correction. You spoke words, even of fighting words at times. But the Lord says, I'm going to give you a word of peace and a word of strength and a word of compassion. And the gift of healing will be placed inside of your midst tonight. If you'll use it and step out in it, if you recognize that push and my nudge, when that person that's sick in front of you, and just go and start to lay hands, and you'll see my power manifest. And it will spur you on and encourage you and change and revolutionize your life. God says, I'm going to restore the very things that have been taken from you. My arms are not too short. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to restore to you. And I'm going to strengthen you and I'm going to call you and you're going to hear your name in my mouth.
Amen.
And his ear, your ears, your spiritual ears are going to be open tonight in a new dimension. And the dreams that you had that you've even questioned what they are, you're going to know what they mean. Because the Holy Spirit has been chasing you for a period of years, and he's caught you, Jonah. And he's spitting you out exactly to your destination. Jonah just needed to be repositioned. That's all. But once he was in position and spit out, he was exactly where God wanted him. And God is sending you the same type of people that Jonah was sent to, people that wouldn't listen, people that were stubborn, people that were caught up in their habits. Those are the very people that God has sent you to. And you're going to speak a word of release, a word to set them free. And your family is going to be blown away because you're going to be so radically changed. You don't even know who you are. You're going to look in the mirror and go, I don't even know who you are anymore. That's the power of God. Only the power of God can change you, man. He changed me, and he's continuing to change me. So I just want to encourage you, evangelist. You're going to be on fire for God in a way that you've never, ever known him. He's going to reveal himself to you. As he did Moses at the waters of Marah, in the putrid waters, in the place where the waters were bitter, he put that healing in there and made the waters sweet. And the healing power of God is coming on your life tonight to make your waters sweet again. And the dreams of encouragement, the dreams of a young man, God's going to give you, and you're going to be motivated and encouraged and strengthened. The evangelist is going to be in your mouth, brother. And many are going to come to the Lord because of your obedience. Yeah, just like Peter. He was just fishing, just doing his normal thing, but Jesus came on his boat one day and said, you're going to be a fisher of men, and it radically changed him. That guy went from denying the Lord to preaching in front of 3,000 people. I just see it on you. I got to call it like I see it. Amen?
Amen.
That was so good. That was so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I'll give you a word of encouragement. That was so good. You know, I was talking about the mission and the and all of these things, and just you started just to light up. I said, you know what? That's what I need. I need just a little bit of a Holy Spirit dream, just a Holy Spirit goal, just a little goal, just a little carrot. And God's just kind of nudging you on. I just want to encourage you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You say, well, I haven't had a whole lot of things around me to make me joyful right now. But see, the thing about it is, it's the joy of the Lord that's your strength. Not that these things around you are joyful, because that's the world. The world's joy comes and goes, but God's joy stays and remains. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. I just see that word joy on your life. It's like he's writing joy on your life. It's your strength. It's your power. It's not a feeling. It's a power. Because knowing that the stuff around you, the testings that are around you, are all preparing you and conforming you into his image. That's why it says to count all joy when we encounter various trials. So you say, well, wow, I'm going to have a lot of it then. I'm going to have joy overflowing. Because if that is equal to the trials that I'm under, wow. Do you see how God can change the way you view it? It's his perception That's what he's training you in right now. He's training you to see things as he sees them. And that gives you an advantage, because now you can endure. Oh, okay, well, good. Well, this is going to make me, hey, it's okay then. Let it happen. Yeah, he corrects us on the way, you know, because your storm is caused by somebody else anyway, right? That's like Paul's storm. He got in that boat, somebody made a bad decision, say we're going to launch that boat, and they didn't see the sun for 14 days. And it blew them. They lost the ship, but they came on the shore on the broken pieces, and they survived it, and they got hit that island. And that island had a little revival. So it's okay. You may come in on the broken pieces, but you're going to get to shore. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
God is so good. Praise Jesus. Joy, joy, joy. God is so good. There's somebody over here. I don't know who that is. I feel like I'm being blown this way. Maybe it's you. Amen. God is so good. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God is so good. You know, I just see I see the healing power of God coming in your vessel, first of all. I see him just showering you, just filling you up with healing. And I see me moving and healing and praying for the sick and seeing just the results of the Lord time and time again. You know, the thing about it is, you know, it's like I see like a vice. It's like it's on your head, like that, just kind of pressure. And the enemy's just trying to confuse. There's a confusion that grips you at times. And I see this Lord just really removing that tonight, where there's a real clarity of vision. It's like you all of a sudden can see clear. You know, it's like you've been in a fog, and like God's just giving you a real clear sense of direction where he's really leading you. And you're not being driven to things. You know, circumstances can drive us certain ways, you know, like the wind pushing us here and pushing it there, like we move here, and you're very agile, you're very good at adjusting, and you trust God and all that type of thing, but you're being shoved around by an unseen force. And I just see you really standing up against that thing and saying, in the name of Jesus, stop. I'm rock, and the stuff that's going on to the people that I love, I'm taking authority today, and I'm gonna overcome this thing. It's a real concern and compassion of people who are just being misled and blown around by winds of doctrine and all kinds of crazy ideas. I just see God really using you to really bring their feet down on earth again and give them a real word of wisdom. So I just want to encourage you in that healing ministry. I just see God just filling you up with healing. I don't know if you need a personal touch of the Lord or not, but you're going to get that too. But I just want to encourage you to see God really filling you with healing. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Next week, I hope to have some photographs, and hopefully I'll get them to Lewis on time so he can help me out with that, because I have no idea how to do that stuff, but so I can give you some visuals. But it's a real thing that you are in spiritual warfare. It is a real thing. And some of you in here are really skilled warriors. And just it's okay to really get before the Lord tonight and just seek him and just ask him, where is your battleground right now? You really need to ask him that. Where is my battleground? And let him show you. Because I think you're motivated by the Spirit of God tonight. I just sense the Holy Spirit has really come in this place and really just motivated us. And to give us, you know, he leads us into triumph. And so I'm just going to ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit right now, just to fill you up to overflowing. I'm going to ask him to fill you up, to really show you specifically tonight what your battleground is. And some of you tonight are going to have some visitations. Some of you tonight are going to have some serious dreams. You're going to be stirred into your very core. And I just want to encourage you. That's the Holy Spirit moving on you. Just receive it. You want to anticipate that you're going to be woken up tomorrow morning by God. You're going to anticipate that you're going to hear his voice in a clear manner. You just need to anticipate this stuff. Expectation has got to rise up within us right now. We've got to understand this is a supernatural walk. And you have a something to do in this earth. You know, God wants to enlarge the borders of your tent. He wants to give you a larger footprint. He says you're not thinking big enough. He doesn't want you to be caught up in the things of the world anymore. And some of you come here tonight and you just say, Lord, you know, I just don't know if I'll ever get to that place. That's a lie. That's a lie. You got the Spirit of the living God. You got the Creator of the universe residing inside of you. He's in you. And He wants to lead you into what? Triumph. Amen? And that's His perception. So you must come into agreement with that. Amen? Father, I just ask you right now, Holy Spirit, we just honor you in this place tonight. We thank you for your presence. You have been teaching tonight through the anointing and each and every individual here. They heard different things. Some people in here received sermons tonight, Lord God. Some people, Holy Spirit, you deposited gifts inside of them. Some people in here have their ears open, Lord. Some people have walked in here, Lord, need a healing touch in their body, and you're healing them right now. And so, Lord, we just honor that. We just thank you, Jesus, that you're here to do those things. Now, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that these vessels that have come here tonight would be filled up right now.